to last, as you align yourself, looking at alignment, building to last. It is not enough to build. You must build to last. A great man of God recently was approached, and they told him that they wanted to write his biography. The man of God said, "Please wait till I die. Because it's not enough to start. Let's see how you finish." Now, you may not need to wait before your biography is written, but there's a lesson there. The way some people build, you can tell that it won't last. So as we share today God's word, I got born again 42 years ago. And walking with Jesus has been the greatest adventure of my life. Nathan and I, by God's grace, started the ministry 32 years ago. We've seen fire. We've seen things. So I have a background from which I want to share with you today. I want to begin by reading the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 1 to 4. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Verse 2, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." Verse 3, "And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins." Verse 4, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, for he that is called of God, as was Aaron." The first thing I'd like to mention this morning is that ministry is a great privilege. Ministry is a great privilege, a great one. God is so mighty, he's so big, he's so great, that he doesn't need any of us to be God. He has only decided to be God with us, because he can be God without us. He can go to the mosque, appear in any form, and convert someone, and anoint the person, and send him on the same errand that we are privileged to run for him. So there is no need to be proud if you're going to last. You must be conscious consistently that ministry is a great privilege. So you wake up in the morning as a servant of God, whether you're in the choir or you're a pastor or you're in the health ministry, whatever. And then you bow your heart before the Lord, thanking him for the privilege of relevance. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So it is a privilege. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us from verse number 26. It's not because you are the noble. It's not because you are beautiful. It's not because you are anything. If you ever forget anything, please don't forget that. It will keep you humble. It will keep you safe and sane. Many ministers are not sane. And pride is like a wild beast. If you don't tame it, it can tear you. Once your head becomes swollen, your crown will not fit you. Be conscious that it is a privilege to be anything. To be a pastor, to be an itinerant minister, to be married to a man of God, to clean the church, to be an usher, to carry the Bible of the man of God, to be a servant to a servant of God. God is God without us. He has only chosen to be God with us. That's the first thing I'd like to say. The second thing I'd like to remind us, many of the things I'm saying today, we all know because we're ministers of the gospel, is that ministry is a great honor. Kenneth Copeland says, the greatest honor God can do a man is to put him in ministry. And I just read out to you now Hebrews chapter number 5. No man taketh this honor unto himself. Ministry is honorable. Forget about those people that make a mess of it. Ministry is the greatest honor God can do you. What a privileged people we are to be so honored. Number 3, ministry has its joys. When you minister, you see lives changed. When you sing, when you touch people, and God does the supernatural, joy fills your heart. It's not a sign of pride to be happy when somebody shares a testimony. It's actually a sign of low self-esteem to refuse praise. We thank God for you. No, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. Excuse me. It is a sign of low self-esteem. Receive it, chew it like chewing gum, and throw it back to the headquarters. Ministry has its joys. Somebody that will have been an armed robber, somebody that will have died as a prostitute, God uses you to change the person's life. It's a great joy. You have joy when you see people graduate, when you see people's lives change. Ministry has joys. And we thank God for that. The next thing I want to say is that ministry has its challenges. I can't say categorically that the hardest job on earth is ministry. It affects everything about you. Somebody that you are not related to, their problems become your problem. You only met in church, they just came and then you became their pastor. Their uncle's problem becomes your problem. The mother-in-law's problem becomes your problem. You don't have a life and you must keep smiling. One day our last born got missing. My husband will go this way, the protocol people will go this way, I'll go that way looking for her. And then each person will return home as love returned, say no. Where is this girl? One of the times that I returned, a couple just bought a car and they drove it to the house to come and show us. I was in pains, but I had to be laughing. Congratulations. With that, because if you don't laugh, they will call you a witch. My daughter was missing. They just got a car. I ran inside. I brought a bottle of wine. I gave it to them. I said, thank God for you. The Lord will preserve you. Please take this. I was on my way out, you know, and all that. Sometimes as ministers, we are bleeding healers. Wounded shepherds. If, for instance, as a pastor's wife, you are very easygoing, very quiet, you are not in the pulpit ministry, maybe you are a prayer warrior, you just support your husband, and you're just, you know, you don't divide the word as you should, you're just taking care of the children, you are lost. People will look at you and shake their heads and say, oh my God, our pastor is dynamic, our pastor is fantastic, but the day he went to the market, he didn't see well. See the lady he married. If as a pastor's wife, you are also a firebrand, you are a preacher, you have the pulpit ministry, you break the word, you do this, you do that, they will look at you and say, she's so manipulative, she must be a witch. So which one should you be as a pastor's wife? Ministry has its challenges. Very difficult. That is why I feel for people that God did not call, people that only flashed God. Hello, God, call me, God, hello. Or people whose wives helped to call. You to go and start your own. Original Rock of Ages International Ministries. Okechukwu and Sons Christian Center. The Last Saliva of Jesus International Church. You hear me? Church. Ministry has its challenges. If you're going to last, you need to take care of these three major areas of your life. And my case study today is A very silent woman in the Bible. Zipporah. The first pastor's wife. She's the person I want to dissect as I speak to you today. Zipporah, Mrs. Moses. Some of you have never heard her name before. Do you know that this woman missed the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, the first pastor's wife? Do you know she was not there when God was moving in the midst of the Israelites? So today we want to analyze what could have led to this. What happened? What frustrated her in ministry? What is it that she did not take care of? How, as the pastor's wife, the Jew's wife, could you on your life have missed the parting of the Red Sea? I've been to Israel a few times, and one of my favorite places is the Red Sea. How did it part? How come that you missed it? And this may be the pictorial image of the lives of some of the people that God has given me the privilege to share with today. Exodus chapter number 4 from verse 24 to 26. Exodus 4, 24 to 26. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son, cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." Now I want to go to Exodus chapter 18 from verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. What? Pastor sent his wife back. Let's go on this journey. I skip verses 2, 3, 4, 5, you know. Verse 5, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife. His sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped. He said unto Moses, "I, your father-in-law, have come unto you and your wife and your two sons with you." Moses went out to meet them, did obeisance, kissed him. They asked each other, and Moses told him, you know, gave him the progress report of ministry. As I looked at Zipporah's life under the searchlight of the Holy Spirit, I see the lives of many people in ministry. The first thing that can be the problem is when you feel you are not capable. Many times, God does not look for people that can speak big grammar, do this and scatter everywhere. He looks for people in whose life he will take the absolute glory. Absolute. God can share his wealth, his promises, his peace, his this and that, but he cannot share his glory with anybody. So he looks and raises the poor from the dust and the beggar from the dunghill. So in case you are here today and you've been feeling inadequate, maybe as a pastor's wife or as a minister, a male minister, you're thinking you are in good company because you're going to last. I'm not talking about complacency and I'm not talking about inferiority complex. I'm talking about you positioning your heart in such a way that you'll be conscious of giving God all the glory. If you are going to last, you must position your heart in such a way that you will always remember that it's not because you are capable, it's not because you are anything, it's because God chose you. And please, never ever outgrow your thanksgiving level. No matter what happens. I flew in yesterday, I was telling the Reverend, as I boarded the plane again yesterday, I went on my knees, my seat. Some people were looking at me, it didn't matter to me. Yesterday, thank you, Jesus, for buying the ticket again. That was business class. The first time I now flew first class, I went on my face. I thoroughly embarrassed my husband that day. We were going to South Africa. I laid on the floor. One of the hostesses came and said, excuse me, madam, is everything okay? I said, it's okay. I'm thanking the one that bought the tickets. How come that you as a pastor, you stroll into church after praise worship? Some of you, when you want to enter the service, even the Almighty God doesn't enter that way. Ushers must clear everywhere, everywhere. When the Holy Spirit entered, nobody knew. But when you want to come in, what? What are you carrying that you are against? What? What? Please, we have honor as we move in church. You see, ushers pushing. I said, please, if you push them away, are they not the people we are pastoring? Why are you pushing them? Who says, when I want to pay my tithe, I also come out, I file out the way they file out. Excuse me. No, no, no. I am first a Christian before I am a bishop's wife. Let me also line up. Position your heart that each time God visits, he doesn't regret that he called you. So many ministers have put ministry before God. That's wrong. The order is God first. Your family next. The ministry third. And I'll prove it to you from the scriptures. The family was born in the book of Genesis. The church was born in the book of Exodus. Stop putting church before your family. If I have the time, I'll get to a few more things. Position your heart that God will know you're a grateful person. When you tell everybody to kneel down in church to give thanks to the Lord, you too kneel down, sir. In fact, you should prostrate because you are the most privileged in that church. There are pastors' wives that are here today and you are making life difficult for your husband because you feel sidelined. You feel irrelevant. Or you feel like I used to feel. I don't share this often. I feel led to share it again with those of you that are my sisters here. My husband did not marry me as a pastor. We were friends. I didn't know he would be in ministry. I did not know God would put him in ministry. Very close, we're very close, you know, and all that. One day while we're in courtship, he asked me, what kind of a home, kind of a marriage do you want? I said, I want a home where it's just you and me, you know, nobody visits. I'm sure I had forgotten that we would even go and work. And I said, no, just even if appearance will come, I just want that. He said, but me, I want a home that the doors will be open 24/7. And people can come in and eat our last meal. I said, I can't marry you. I'm a private person. Even as I'm speaking to you this morning, beloved, it's still a wonder to me that I'm in ministry. I used to be a very private person. It's still a wonder to me. Anyway, we got married. And then 3 years after our marriage, we're expecting our second child. My husband came home to announce to me that he was going into ministry. I bound him. I cast that vision out. I said to him, never, not on my watch. What are we going to say? I said, let's go and join Assemblies of God or Church of God Mission and be serving the Lord. Please don't even talk about ministry. Anyway, eventually God gave me an encounter, blah, blah, blah. But listen, when we got into ministry, my husband is a pastor. I am not a pastor. That's why when people say Pastor Funke, it's not me you are calling. I'm not a pastor. I'm a pastor's wife. My husband is a pastor. He can do anything just to bless people, just to help people. There was a time we had 27 people living in our house. So I was making life difficult for him. Difficult for him. I would be funny. I was so immature. If we had a misunderstanding on Saturday, Sunday morning would be trouble. Sometimes I would say, I'm not going to church. If I go to church, I'll just be worshiping my God. They talk, I said, please just leave me alone. Just leave. Let me face my God. It was bad. So one day I had an encounter with the Lord. I heard the Lord say to me, get ready to die. I said, I come against you, Satan, in the name. And the Lord said, it is not the devil. I, your God, I'm speaking. How will you want your funeral service to look like? Because you are hindering my servant from fulfilling purpose. I want to tell you that I will give him another woman after your death that will take care of him and your children. And hear the next thing. And you will not be missed. That was the day I added Felix to my last name. Funke Felix Adejumo. It used to be Funke Adejumo. Funke Adejumo. That was the day. I'm not bearing that company because women put. From that day, I got born again. And the rest is history. I thank God that he loves me enough to correct me that much. Some of you are here, pastors' wives. There are many reasons why you are frustrated. It's ministry. All the money, ministry. All the clothes, ministry. All the food, ministry. My husband wrote a book. Every pastor is a polygamist. The title of the book. I said, this book, hey, Jesus. He has the church, Jesus' bride to take care of. Then he has his own bride, you, to take care of. And sometimes he's torn between the two of you. The man wants to please God. All his life he wants to serve the Lord. The money, yeah. And then here you are. Emotionally, you are not being reached. Financially, your needs are not met. Sometimes people misjudge you. They misrepresent you. Things that your husband did not even tell you. He changes his mind over them. People think you were the one. It is his wife. Because of that, you are gradually becoming a Zipporah. Calling your husband a bloody husband. Calling your husband all sorts of names. You don't want to be relevant in the ministry again. Things are happening and you are frustrated. I have a word for you today. Please, my dear. God says, I should tell you, I am the God that remembers. He has seen your tears. He will turn things around. Just align yourself to his will and his purpose. You can't defend yourself. Let the man serve God. After I changed, one day I was traveling. As my driver pulled over to the filling station, I heard God say to me, now you have been faithful in standing by my servant. I give you your own. And he's taken me around the world. It's just a quarter to your breakthrough. Encourage the man. Stand by him. God remembers and he will pay your wages. Hallelujah. In ministry, sometimes you have to relate to unfaithful and unloyal people. Very disloyal people, beg your pardon. Unfaithful and very disloyal people as a minister. It's part of the package. People you have invested into. I made up my mind that I will not, because of church, miss heaven. If there is a place where your Christianity will be tried, it is in ministry. Please refuse to let people change who you are. Father Bishop David Oyedepo told me many years ago, he said, God is going to bless you, daughter. God is going to send you around the world. He's going to do this and that and that. And people will be unkind to you. People will misjudge you. People will do this and that. Make up your mind not to allow them to change you. Don't let them make you sow what you shouldn't sow, because they will reap what they sow and you will reap what you sow. that has helped me a lot in ministry. There are people that you invest into, ministers of God, hear me. I'm in your shoes. People you have invested into, and they just turn around, and it's like you are dreaming. What? And they carry stories about you. God is the judge of the earth, and he's the image builder. You don't need to fight for yourself. God will tell your own side of the story. Don't worry about that. Don't because of that give up your calling. Don't because of that change and say, I won't help people again. If you close your eyes for bad people to pass, you will not know when good people are passing. Papa says, human beings are the greatest assets in life and they are the greatest liabilities. Very disloyal people. You will also have, you will meet very gifted people. People that will make you feel as if you are not anointed. They will come. How do you know a great person? When we look into your quiver, who have you produced? Be comfortable enough in your ministries to let other people rise. Don't curse people when they leave your ministry. Sometimes even when they do bad things to you, God sees. He knows. Let people rise. Bring your shoulders for people to rise. Invest into people. Some of them will go and remember you. Some may not. But I want you to know that God does not forget. There are people that you did not even invest into, that God will send your way to reward you. You must live your life and fulfill purpose. No matter the challenges. There are pastors that will not make heaven because of bitterness. There's no other ministry or calling where people will try your Christianity. Where people will try to be ungrateful to you and frustrate you than in ministry. Do not allow your life to be the trash can. Do not allow people to make you miss the rapture. Ministry is not the end of it. You are a Christian. They will offend you. Some of them will tell lies. You'll be looking for yourself. Did I do it? You'll be thinking, did I do it? Or make up your mind. Be who God ordained you to be. Just decide. It's a choice. I have seen things in life. I've been lied against. I've been betrayed. I've seen things. But I've made up my mind that I will live my life in such a way that my mate will be scarce.
I hear nothing.
I will live my life in such a way that the anointing of God I carry will be a real one. Do not allow anybody to pollute. Ministry is full of challenges. Be who God has ordained you to be. Face front. Stop throwing stones at every dog that barks. Go and score. While you are going to score a goal, if somebody calls you, look at him, get leg. You don't leave the ball and say, is it me you called the game? When I come back, by the time you come back, the ball is gone. And then you don't look at people that say, hey, mama, hey, well done. Say, ah, give me a high five. Before you come back, the ball is gone. Face front. Keep moving. Keep pushing. Whether you are crawling, whether you are flying, whether you are soaring, it doesn't matter. Keep being you. In case you don't know, when you get to the top, you become the topic. As we speak now, people are talking about you. Your name is being mentioned, whether for good or for evil. The ones you are replacing are the ones you know. And these days that data is free from 12 p.m. You cannot last if your life is based on what you see on Instagram. Some of you are more on Instagram than Bible. Fake life. Go on social media when you want to laugh or you want to post something. Thank you. But don't let that be your life. Please don't let that be your life. If you are not careful, you can become paranoid, angry, not trusting anybody again. Like that woman. Why would Moses return his wife? I'm going to be speaking in the last few minutes, and I'm about to round up. I'm going to be speaking particularly to male ministers. Please hear me. You may be the reason why God sent me here today. Hear me. I flew thousands of kilometers to come here. Hear me. Male ministers, please hear me very well. Three things are important in everybody's life. These are the three things I said I would tell you. If you're going to last, number one, God. Your relationship with God, please don't joke with it. Do not allow ministry to snatch God from you. Still do quiet time as a pastor. Still study the Bible, not to preach, but for yourself. Any cook that prepares meal and doesn't eat and serves and serves and serves will be malnourished. The same battles that your church members face, you will face. Please do not let ministry run God out of your life. Continue to love him. Continue to serve him. Anson and I, by God's grace, we have planted 35 churches. We pastor thousands of people. But I still go to church to sweep. And I will sweep till I can no longer sweep. I will sweep till till Jesus comes. Because I'm first a Christian before I'm any other thing. And particularly because it was broom phone I was holding before Jesus put microphone in my hand. So why will I drop it? I go to church. I see arrange chairs. You see me in church in my short knicker, my jeans and all that. I'm cleaning. When I travel, I've already paid someone that goes to church to clean the carpet. And when the person is clean, I say, God, I'm cleaning. No, you know, it's because I'm in Australia. That's why I paid that person. God and your relationship with him. Very important as a minister. So this dimension, please, servants of God, it will help you a lot. Let God matter to you. Ask the Holy Spirit before you ask anybody. Call on the throne before you call on the phone. Very important. Job chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. You want to assume, in case you are here, you are not born again. Can't be ministry and not be saved. If not, you are not safe. There are demons sent against pastors. When one is sent to church members, 100 will be sent to us. Get your relationship with the Lord. Battles are raging. Fights are going on. Your mistakes matter to people, enemies and friends. So you need God. Because it's your hiding place. May you not sleep the sleep of death. The second thing is you. If you're going to last, don't joke with God. Number two, don't joke with your life. You as a person. Invest into yourself. I'm not ashamed to say that I went back for my first degree after 4 children. When I noticed that my husband started mentoring governors, church members were becoming commissioners, the ministry was growing, I said to myself, I don't want a day to come when I will no longer fit the front of my husband's car. I don't want my husband to be talking politics and I'm talking tomatoes. Yeah, I see. I don't know what he's saying. So I went back to school. I'm glad I did. And as I speak to you, I'm still in school. I just finished one now, last week. I'm still in school. I keep self-developing. Too many people draw from me. I cannot afford to be a local champion. Many ministers have expired. For instance, you're preaching, God is your father. God is your friend. When the half of the congregation, they are being fathered by stepfathers. Half of them, their fathers are in jail. Some of them have walked away. They don't understand what you're saying. So you need to get yourself into a situation where you understand what is going on. Never expire. Don't be the Alpha and the Omega of your church. You need to listen to other people. You need to get exposed. You need to self-develop. You graduated 1976 during creation of states. What else have you added? So when you're preaching, people are on social media. And you can't be the only one preaching. That's not how life is made. Self-improve. Even the way you dress. It's only Jesus that is the same yesterday and today and forever. Principles don't change, but methods change. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God who before used to do it like this. This is how he does it now. It's in the Bible. Improve on yourself. The first time I put on earrings, my husband looked at me and said, "You look like a woman." So for 10 years, I wasn't wearing jewelry. No makeup. If you see my wedding picture, you'll be sorry for my mother. Life changes. You can't afford to just sit down there and say, no, it doesn't matter. Please develop. And there are some of you, men of God, when your wife is telling you, this is that, you don't listen. You do not listen. Who is talking? Shut up. There's no way you can last like that. That's why we're talking about alignment. Sometimes I tell my children, when I visit them, teach me how to dance. They're teaching me the new steps. So it's not the same old dances. And they're looking at you. If you want to remain relevant in this 21st century, we're not compromising our faith. No, not at all. Excuse me. You have to understand. Rahab said, we have heard. Some of you, all you watch is Africa Magic. You don't watch the news. You don't know what is going on now. If they ask you, what's the name of Trump's wife? Is it not Zipporah? Is it, you know? You need to please work on yourself. Know yourself. Believe in yourself. Like yourself. Job chapter 12 verse 13. And Job chapter 13 verse 12. Verse 2. Invest into yourself. Rebrand. Repackage. Your spirit, your soul, your body. Upgrade. Read books. Attend conferences. You are very important. The third one, and that's where I want to spend a few more minutes. If you're going to last, your relationships. I said number one, God. Number two, you. Number three, your relationships. There are seven kinds of relationships you should invest into. Number one is Christ. We've talked about that, your relationship with the Lord. Number two is clarifiers. You can't live your life in such a way that you are not accountable to anybody. You have a vision or you have something, there should be people in your life that clarify your vision. Your next step. It may be your spouse. It may be your accountability partners. It may be somebody that you revere. But please, I always tell single ladies, don't marry a man that does not fear nobody. Don't marry a man that says, I don't care. I don't care about anybody. He's an accident. It's going to happen. The people in your life, that's your brake system. If you don't have a brake system, you are prone to accidents. There should be people in your life that if I say I'm going to tell so and so, you should shiver. If you don't follow anybody, don't expect anybody to follow you. There are too many ministers, too many people in ministry today that are a law to themselves. They don't answer to nobody. Nobody can correct them. Nobody can tell them anything. Their wives do not even have anybody to report them to. You are not safe, my brother. Life is being designed in such a way that from the cradle to the grave, you need people. When you were going to be born, it took two people to conceive you, a man and a woman. after you were conceived, when you were going to be preserved, a woman had to carry you in her womb. When you were going to be born, it took a team of people to deliver you. The education you have today, it has taken people to impart it. You can't be your own driver, your own doctor, your own lawyer, your own pastor, your own this and that. No, that's the way God has ordained life. When your work on earth is done and your days are over, you cannot bury yourself. Even if you put yourself in the casket, you cannot give yourself a befitting burial. Even if you shut the casket, you can't cover yourself with sand. So from the womb to the tomb, you need people. You need people. When the devil wants to deal with anyone, he isolates them. Go and ask Samson. There was no one in Samson's life to have told him, that girl, she can kill you. Nobody. You cannot afford to be alone. Even God said it is not good. You need clarifiers. Number three, you need collaborators. And every minister should pray that. People that will step into your life, and I call them storm calmers. One of them sometimes is enough than 10 that are evil people. They come into your life and you rise. That's a grace I have noticed in my life by God's grace. No matter the level at which you are operating, when God gives me the privilege to step into your life, you must rise. It's a grace I carry. And in the name of Jesus, because God gave me the privilege to meet all of you today, you will rise. Let your amen be louder than your neighbor's own. Some of you have been struggling in ministry. I bring grace today, and I push you forward in the name of Jesus. You need collaborators. Ministry cannot run without money. You need them. It's not only anointing. People that prayer cover you. People that Satan proof you. People that say, if you go down, we are in it together. Genesis chapter 27. Rebecca said to Jacob, let the curse be on me. People that will stand by you, no matter what anybody says, they say, even if you did it, even if you were wrong, I stand by you. May Jehovah send them into your life. That your amen is not good enough. Ministry can be tough. You need collaborators. You need comforters. As the next one, some of you, you've been laboring. You've labored. Some of you, if you had worked for Chevron, they would have paid you. You've put your life in the offering bucket. One day, I returned from a country and I had to cross immigration to go and jump on the plane to go to another country. And I was crying, God, I can't even go out. See, I want to go and touch my husband. I want to go and see the children. God, I have to fly from London to Uganda. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you are a prisoner of the gospel. Sometimes you are in pains, yet you are building. People look at your makeup and they think, oh, everything's fine. They look at your shoes and they want to be like you. They say, oh, you needed to hear the Reverend Charles today. That man has it on me. He has his secret pains. I've not been in services, prayer meetings, when the pastor says, everybody, let's pray. And everybody's praying. Then at a point, he says, tell God that thing. Even the pastor removes the microphone from me. I don't want a Christian life in which I will not have prayer points. I want to be eternally dependent. Forget the three things I've told you today. God, you, and relationships. You also need coach or coaches. Tiger Woods is the best golfer in the world. He has a coach. As I speak to you now, I have a coach. My coach is 36. I was 57 in January. That's life. When we are in class, when I'm in class, my coach calls me Funke. After class, she says, Mama. But she has what I don't have. And I need it. You need a coach. That's life. So that you won't expire. But not only do you need a coach. My sister, come. You need what I call catchers. You need Christ, you need clarifiers, you need collaborators, you need comforters, you need confronters, you need coach, but you also need catcher. Don't die like Elisha that took his anointing to the grave. Invest into people. Deliberately, intentionally, and not. And otherwise. Stop telling people, I just got here by God's grace. Tell us what you did. You fasted for 7 days. You studied the Bible. And God raised somebody to give you 1 million. Simple. We won't collect it from you. Tell us. We have also fasted. Stop making us feel that we didn't fast. We have also fasted. We have read the Bible. Tell us. Reverend told us here, I went to the, all those places he said he went. It's true because I've been there. So I know what he was saying. He said, I copied. It's true. This is the color of, Atlanta. I saw it. I saw it. He told us, this is what I did. Yes, I fasted. We all fast. Uncle, tell us. Let me tell your brother, tell us. You can take it. Finally, I said this to my male colleagues. I have 5 minutes. I say this to those of you that are male. Things that people may not tell you. Beware of the opposite sex. Proverbs chapter 5 from verse 15. Drink water out of your cistern, running water from your own well. Let your fountain be dispersed abroad. Verse 17. Let your fountain be blessed. Verse 20, why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Now, Proverbs chapter 6 is the word I have for you. From verse 23, but the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty. Verse 26, for by means of a Orish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, not a loaf of bread. All you have been building over the years, all the fasting and praying, all the labors, all the sowing, all the denial, just by one single act of adultery. It was so strong on my heart when I was praying about this meeting. A man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress we hunt for the precious is because your life is precious. All these employing female secretaries and making her tight till 2 a.m. Stop it. Anointing does not answer to adultery. It answers to fleeing. Adultery doesn't understand anointing. The man that wrote, now look at it. He said, wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Solomon penned it. That was what killed him. The man that wrote this, it was adultery that finished him. So that you can preach against it does not mean plan to last. Show your wife public display of affection. Have sex with your wife if you want 15 times a day. It doesn't matter. When you are sexually satisfied, you'll be emotionally stable. Stop canceling if you know you have that challenge. Stop canceling with closed doors. Secrecy is the strength of sin. If a woman comes to you and she sits before your table and she's crying, Let her cry. Women know how to cry. Let her cry. It won't kill her. Don't stand up to go and wipe the tears. You don't have that anointing. Let her cry. The most you can do is to give her tissue paper from across the table. I'm a woman and I know what I'm telling you. There is no man a woman cannot finish. Every woman has a minimum of 7 powers. It is inside us. It is inside us, whether you are born again or not. Hey, they say the man is the head. The woman is the neck. It is the neck that determines where the head turns. So who is more powerful? Too many men of God have been wasted. Sacrificed on the altar of adultery. When adultery takes place, you put your wife and children in danger. They have to go through shock, denial, grief, before they move to healing and restoration. You have labored too much, my brother. Don't be caught in the web of adultery. Plan to last. Prepare to last. Don't just bind and loose. Flee. If a woman comes to your office every time and her neck cannot stand, flee. It shall be well with you.